Hey, Adam.
Yes, Al.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
You got any donuts?
So, no. Hello, and welcome to episode 98. Of the Two Hosers Photo Show, my name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Adam.
In Vancouver, Canada. I'm going to finish it for you.
Great.
People are dying to know, where's Adam this week? Well, 98 weeks in a row in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah, I don't go many places other than Seattle, and I'm not broadcasting from Seattle.
Why would you waste any precious Seattle moments?
That's exactly my point.
Exactly. So what's going on, Adam?
Went to Seattle last weekend.
Okay.
That's it. That was a great lead-in. It's like a segue to my Seattle weekend last
weekend. You pre-segued yourself.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's how we set it up here at the Two Hosers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. I went to Seattle.
Do you call it C-Town like Sir Mix-a-Lot does?
No, I don't. I'm going to start, though.
I would.
Interesting. Yeah, Interesting photography tie-in to Seattle.
Okay, wait a second. Before you declare it's interesting, I'll be the judge of that.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
Do I have to prove it now?
Well, I think that would be nice.
Okay. Apparently, a lot of camera stores are closing out in Seattle.
Is that right?
Yeah. My wife and I, the Royal We, went to Seattle last weekend, and I told you I was going to be on the hunt for a new lens, right? So that's more correct. Of the here and now. I was looking for a new lens, an 85mm Canon 1.8.
Mm-hmm.
And you know about this because I was looking one for you as well.
Correct.
So I was looking for two and stopped out at Alderwood Mall, which is kind of on the way to Seattle.
Not a sponsor. Okay.
Yeah. And I think it was a lens and shot. I'm not sure what used to be in there, a camera store, but is now gone. There was a Macy's temporary Christmas tree display in the former camera store in Alderwood Mall.
Uh-huh.
So that was disappointing. And then I went to Cameras West in Seattle, also gone.
Okay.
So there's 0 for 2. And then I decided, okay, we'll go to Northgate Mall in Seattle, right near the downtown, and they did not have any copies of the 1.8 85mm. So I struck out three times before I finally hit it big at, are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Glazer's Camera in downtown Seattle. I want to give them a plug because that store is freaking awesome. It's like,
what's it called?
It's called Glazer's, G-L-A-Z-E-R-S, Glazer's Camera in downtown.
Are you sure it's not G-Lazer's?
That would be even better.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. But anyways, I think they are awesome. To me, and you'll appreciate this, it was like the Apple store of camera stores.
Okay.
Like it was just neat, clean, tons of people to help you. It looks like the store was full of people, but yet there was almost as many people working there as there were people in there. So you got great customer service, and they had like three stores all kind of clumped together. There was the one selling mostly new stuff. They had a full-on lighting store like across the street, and then a block down they had a used and rental place.
Okay, see, the used place, I'm with you so far. This sounds fantastic. No joke.
Yeah, no, it is.
But the used cameras, I'd love that. I love going to used camera stores.
Yeah, they had a ton of... Again, I didn't get my... I wasn't able to go to all three. I did kind of peek in the lighting place, but I was in a bit of a rush because I had swung and missed at so many camera stores. I was not granted a lot of leave time from the family to poke around in camera stores all day, so I just basically went in and got what I wanted and left. But after the other camera stores had no copies or one at each location, this place had just a mountain of them, so they were well-stocked, which I liked.
Awesome. And that means, I mean, I get to use my lens.
Yeah.
Soon.
So I brought one for you too. So you're all set up now.
That's awesome. Okay. I'll get next round. Next time we're buying lenses.
Yeah. Yeah. The next ones are going to be way more expensive. It's like the shots at the bar. Oh no, we're going premium top shelf liquor when you're buying.
Yeah, don't worry. We're the 151. Yeah. We'll get some of those. Double that. Yeah.
All right.
That sounds great. I think the, you know, not to get into great detail, I think we all know what's killing these stores. It's the internet.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, good and bad. I mean, I do like the internet for some things, but I like physically going into camera stores. Like, I really do like that.
And I honestly think that a Glazer's camera is partly responsible for knocking everybody else out. They had everything, and they were just like the mother of camera stores. So, I mean,
right.
I just think that it would be hard to compete for some of the other stores because they just had anything and everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
the one thing I find that is really killing the mom and pops is people tend to go in, check out what they want, get their hands on it, and then go home and Amazon it.
Yeah, that could be too.
That's kind of I find that to be offside. I don't mind if you want to go Amazon. That's the thing. The reason that it's cheaper, or you know, is because there is no brick and mortar, and the risk is you don't get it in your hands.
Right.
Then to ask someone else to have it, that's a bit weak. But then to have Glazers work out like this, that's great. But
yeah.
the internet has also killed used sales at like flea markets and whatnot.
Okay.
You're not getting any special finds at a flea market anymore. Like, you're not coming across an old Leica for $80. It's not going to happen because everyone knows that camera's, you know, I guess everyone knows the value of things now. So that seems fair.
Yes.
So you can't rip them off, but it's still nice to find. I mean, obviously a Leica is a high end example, but people seem to overvalue other cameras that should be $10 or $15 are now like $50. So thanks a lot, internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason I should say this, because maybe this is a shout out to Canadian camera stores. Holy crap! Is the 85mm 1.8 overpriced here, which is why I had to buy it over there.
It's not the stores. It's something going on in Canada. It's because I'm a firm believer in buying local, and I would absolutely positively buy it in Canada. I believe in that. Except for there's something odd going on with lenses and lens hoods for some reason.
Yeah, lens hoods too, but some lenses more than others. I thought that, you know, there's a lot of lenses when I was like kind of looking and doing the comparison that were, you know, much closer, where, you know, the difference is $50 on a $600 or $700 lens. This was $200 difference on a $500 lens. It's 40%.
Right. Yeah, that is the rub on some of them. So I don't understand the disparity, but this is one of those opportunities that I would say the same thing. Yeah, we're going to do the cross-border shopping, take advantage of the of NAFTA, the one spot where it's good for us. And because we're allowed to do that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, I prefer to buy local. I'm in.
I agree, and this is the first lens that I've actually bought across the line, but I just could not – I wanted it, and I could not – justify the $200 increase, and I go to Seattle a lot, so there's
on a $350 lens.
Well, that's it. It was $350 there, and it was $550 here. So it's just kind of hurts. It hurts, but you do what you got to do.
All right, you hear that, Canada?
Yeah,
hear that? You know what? I think it's Canon Canada. I don't think it's the stores doing it because it's across the board. Like, you look at that lens in every store, it's priced similarly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's Canon Canada, because I had the same discussion with somebody working at a store about when I bought a lens hood. I needed one, and it was like $60 or something.
Yeah.
Same lens hood at a store in the States was like $22.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and their attitude was like, well, you know, you could buy it online, but you know, we're here. I was like, well, that's not the point. I could buy it in the store in the States. Like if it was $35, I'd say, okay, I understand. I get it. That's enough. That's enough of old men ranting.
Okay.
I think everybody gets the point.
What did you do this week?
Let's get right into what did I shoot.
Oh, okay.
I went to the zoo.
Great. Oh, yeah. Like we talked about that on the last episode. And
I took
how'd you make out?
It was an absolute downpour.
Great.
Just rain. Like, it was just like we were driving there, And here's what I had said before we're leaving for the zoo. Like a couple days before, the forecast was for absolute downpour. So spoiler alert, they were correct.
Okay.
And so I'd said to my wife, listen, if it's going to be, like, I don't want to just go walk around the zoo in the pouring rain. And she said, no. There's no way we're going to do that. If it's going to rain, we're going to pull the plug. Except for it was two other families that were going as well.
Yeah.
And two other German families.
Right.
So once that plan was in motion, there was no turning back.
I hear
so
you.
We could have gone to the zoo that was getting consistently hit by lightning. We would have gone.
Okay.
So there's three cars going, and I guess I don't know if it was a brinksmanship game. Nobody wanted to pull the plug, but we're driving there, and the wipers are going full motor, and we can't see a thing. And I thought, this is going to be awesome because the animals are going to love it too.
Yeah,
because the tigers are going to be out whipping around. I don't know whatever tigers normally do at the zoo. I assume they play volleyball or something. but no, they're not going to participate. So anyway, so we got there, and I took your advice. I did not bring the 70 to 200 like I wanted to.
Right.
So I just brought, what did I bring? I brought the 5D with the 50 millimeter.
Okay.
And so that got to, you know, that's very, very compact. And it barely fit in the stroller, in the bottom of the stroller. So I'm glad I took your advice, man.
Great.
I also brought my little film camera, my little Canonette.
Yeah.
Because I figured, you know, if the sun came out, my 5D would come out. But if it's raining, I could always shoot with my little Canonette because I don't care. It's not going to get damaged.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I shot with the film camera in the rain, and then the 5D inside. We went in and saw the monkeys and whatnot. And then when the rain did stop eventually, I know you're all on the edge of your seats. Hey, did the rain stop?
Yeah. Did it stop?
Yeah, it stopped.
Great.
Yeah. In the afternoon. So then the 5D came out, and I'm glad I brought it. But the one place I did not bring it into, the Amazon Pavilion.
Because of how hot it was?
How hot / moist.
Yeah, humid.
Humid. Humid, yeah. Probably sounded a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, I took one peek in the door, and it did say Amazon on the outside door, so I should have figured. but I assumed they were just shipping packages online. I didn't know.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm glad I said that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so yeah, I did not take it there. And luckily, my wife had had enough, and she actually wanted to wait outside anyway. So I got to go see the Amazon stuff, you know, sans camera.
You know what I would have recommended, what lens I would have recommended in retrospect?
What's that?
85 millimeter.
Yes. Yeah.
Would have been perfect for that. Not for the Amazon necessarily, just for the zoo on your 5D, I think.
No, normally I would agree with you on a sunnier day when you can get back, except for the one issue is at the zoo, especially at the Wilhelma Zoo in Stuttgart, which is my first time there. It was pretty awesome. I mean, for us, not for the animals. Kind of sucked for them. Generally, apparently, it gets very packed. Like, I can see it being a very crowded zoo with people.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, if I were to shoot with a long lens, I would not get very good pictures of my kid because I'd have to get far enough back, and then people would just get in the way.
I see what you're saying.
So, that was the kicker. Because it was raining, it wasn't packed, but then I didn't want to, you know, have the long lens anyways.
Okay.
So, it worked out pretty good. 50 mil is a good call.
All right. I'm glad you're happy.
Did you shoot anything interesting, or should we just talk about that next week?
Let's just talk about it next week. Oh, I took pictures of my wife. We had a little birthday party this evening for her. Just cake and the kids and, you know, the blowing out the candles thing and stuff.
Sure.
So that's it. That's all I took for pictures than photo challenges. So that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
I did other stuff, but we'll just talk about it next week.
All right. I'll talk about mine again if we're short on content.
Well, I'm sure she's going to have three or four more birthdays before next week.
That's how they work it in this house.
Yes, it is. It's like a birthday fortnight, I think.
The best thing is I'm not really a big fan of birthdays, so I don't know how this ever happened.
Yeah, I'm a fan of my, my kid's birthday.
Yeah, that's it.
But I had one a little while ago, and a lot of people forgot, and I was okay with it.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. No, you're one of them. That's fine. I don't care. I'm what we call a grown man, and you
know. But the funny thing is, you're surprisingly good at remembering other people's birthdays.
Uh-huh.
So what's that all about?
That's a long story.
Okay.
It's we'll talk about that next week when we talk about Facebook. How about that?
Great.
Remind me next week, and I'll get into that. So this week, or photo challenge. Let's get the photo challenge.
Okay, you issued it, so you explain it, because it was way too complicated.
It was complicated. I thought you could handle it.
No,
turns out no. No, it was based on last week's show where we talked about giving a bunch of different looks in mere matter of seconds. How to change up the look?
Right.
So the challenge was to start with a white background.
Right.
And then hammer out two more looks in less than 60 seconds.
Okay.
Now, we talked about how to do that. And guess what? I did it this week. I did four. Spoiler alert. And I also made a video of it.
Really?
Yeah, but you haven't seen it yet even. I'm going to post it and you can watch it with everybody else.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. So there's that. So turns out, well, let's start with yours first.
All right.
Okay, so here's, we both took pretty similar pictures.
Our wives.
I had something else in mind. I forget what happened. Oh, yeah, here's what, I had something else lined up. I was like, I'm going to shoot somebody else, just for variety.
Right.
And also to prove that I know more than just my wife. Like, I know people.
Okay.
But then the afternoon that was going to happen, friends of ours, she sliced the tip of her finger off with a knife.
Right.
By accident.
Right.
And so my wife had to go and take her to the hospital because she has like a one-year-old as well.
Okay.
So there was a whole thing involved. And good news is they saved the tip of her finger, sewed it back on. Guess how many stitches it took?
11.
One.
Really?
And I was like, well, you drove all the way there for one. I feel like I could do one stitch myself at home.
Yeah.
With a knitting needle.
Sure.
But, no, I guess evidently there was some duct tape involved as well. And so the point is they saved her finger. The end. But that made it so I couldn't do my photo session because I had to look after our kid during that time.
Okay.
So.
That's a fantastic story.
Yeah, right?
Can you tell it again?
I'll tell it next week. I'll jazz it up with lasers.
Okay.
I'll add a G laser to it.
Okay.
So. Long story, really long.
Great callback.
That's how I do. So yeah, we both shot photos of our wives. So let's go with your wife here. What'd you do? What's going on here?
All right, I guess we're gonna start with the first one.
No, let's start at the end and work back. let's go with the first one.
Okay, so just a white piece of paper on the background stand because I don't have a white wall. I don't live in Germany.
Correct.
So this would have been a beige wall, but I just dropped a piece of the seamless white paper in behind her. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to use the 85mm lens.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And so I've got a camera. I've got a flash and an umbrella, mm-hmm. Which is the key light here on her left, camera right.
Okay.
And then I've got two flashes in behind her that I'm all triggering all the flashes on remotes.
Okay.
So I've got them sort of crossfiring across the white paper.
And do you?
Yeah, I do. I think one of them actually misfired on this picture on this one because okay. My test shot is way brighter. But like you said, we had to do this fast, so I wasn't going to go back and do it again.
So,
this was all fast, and I figured I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, one of the one going from well, you can see it's grayer on one
camera shoulder. left yeah. your flash
yeah.
didn't go
yeah, so I had it set up and I can prove that the test shots went, but something misfired here, so mm-hmm. So that's all I did, and then I basically just turned I think what I did is I turned the
Hang on, before we get there, when you said the umbrella, is it your key light? Was it shoot through or reflective?
Yes, it was shoot through.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's shoot through. So then I turned both I turned both flashes off to get the gray background that we see in my second picture.
Mm-hmm.
And she's standing, I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 feet from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we discussed on the show for the last one, I moved her. Again, this is where the challenge came in, because I'm shooting with an 85 millimeter lens on a crop sensor in a very small room.
Right.
So what I would have liked to have brought her, if I was in a bigger space, I would have brought her even further away from the wall, but I could only go so far and still get her in the frame. Mm-hmm. So I brought her forward, and I kept the relative distance between the umbrella and her the same.
Correct.
And then basically took the same picture, and there you see it.
I'm sorry, I missed that. You brought her away from the wall?
I brought her away from the wall, okay. So that less of the camera that was in the shoot-through was gonna create any light in the room.
Okay. Yeah. I think it looks to me like there was a little bit of a difference in the distance between her angle.
What I think I also did is, because thinking back to my understanding of depth of lighting, is I actually tuned down the power maybe 2/3 of a stop on the flash and brought it closer to her to make it darker, and I brought her further away from the wall. So, okay. But I didn't want to have to go into all of that, so you brought it out. Thanks a lot.
No, it's important to note, because you can see there is a difference.
Yeah, on her face. Absolutely.
Because in theory, if you don't change anything else between pictures 1 and 2, it looks like a little bit is changing, but that could be from a small room. Generally, if you have enough distance, your subject against the white wall or the gray wall will be as bright. She'll be equally bright in both pictures, yet will appear brighter in one, in the white one, because it's just your mind goes to that, and the gray background makes you think that it's darker.
Oh, okay.
However, but it is important to note that you did change something, because you can see that the lighting has changed. Not wrong. Yeah,
it's closer to her and not as bright.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was your experience with this? Would you do something similar in a shoot situation, or is it just not worth it for you?
No, it's super cool. And I should note that that's exactly what I did for the birthday photos for my wife today. I didn't stick the paper there, but I stuck her in front of that same wall with the birthday cake and just emptied the background and just shot one light in the shoot through umbrella. And then, you know, basically got a nice backlighting that I wanted. So I did everything the same as in the mm-hmm. last photo, but changed the umbrella angle just to light all three of my subjects, because I had my wife and my two kids blowing out the candles. But I love the effect, so I absolutely will use it more.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at my similar photos.
Okay.
So here's the exact same thing, except I decided to go to grind it down a little bit and go with two flashes only.
Okay.
So the background's lit by one, and then which is a Nikon SB28, just bare, raked across the background.
Okay.
Again, you'll see I shot a video of this. Should preface the video by saying I shot, you know, one long wide angle shot.
Yeah.
So everything happens in real time. Like, there's no cuts. So this video is like 4.5 minutes long of the entire setup, explanation, everything.
Okay.
Okay, so people can check that out. We'll put a link to that on the show notes there.
Okay.
So I raked this across the background, and then I lit her with another SB28 into a reflective umbrella. And I explained that in the video, but basically when you're in a tight space with a lot of white walls, I find that they shoot through, just you can't control light. It just bounces everywhere.
Right.
And not that the reflective umbrella is tremendously controlled, but it is more so than the shoot through. Okay. Now, if you have gray walls, you know, whatever it is, or beige like you have, it's a little different. I absolutely would shoot with a shoot through. But when you live in the white wall Germany, you want to start controlling that. So, and I shot with the 40D this week.
Great.
So just because I wanted to use my 5D to make the video.
I see. And that's the 70-200 lens?
50 millimeter lens.
Okay, 50. Okay.
Yeah. So, and also on the video, when you check it out, because I think I shot it at 17 millimeters, like super wide. So in certain parts of the frame, when I walk to the edge of the frame, Wow, is it an unflattering angle. Terrible, terrible looking.
I'll look for that.
Yeah. In the middle, I look like a million damn dollars. I'm just saying. On the outer edge, ooh. Anyways, okay, so here it is. White background, pretty simple.
Yeah.
Now, had I not been shooting this on video, I would have probably realized a lot quicker that the backlight was kind of raking the side of her face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but at least my flash fired though, so let's not get too judgmental.
It did. I like the second gray background one you did.
Right. So this one, the light that's hitting the background is also spilling onto her face. The irony being is that this week I actually made a ton of different flags and snoots for my flashes.
Okay.
All Velcro. I could have Velcroed a flag onto my flash in under 2 seconds, and yet I somehow missed that one. So that would have prevented the light from spilling forward and hitting her on the side of the face, but here we are. Here's what happened.
Okay.
So I don't like that. I don't like the little shadow on her face created by her hair.
Right.
Okay? That's crappy. So, next shot, I turn and I basically spun the background light and use it as a kicker. So we got a gray background with a kicker.
Okay.
Knocked it down a couple stops. I think I was shooting 1/16th on the wall, shot 1/64th as a kicker.
Okay.
And then I walked over, turned that light off, and basically lit her with one light. That's it. Just the key light is all for the gray background. Start to finish from the white photo till this one, under 30 seconds.
Good job, buddy.
So you can do those three looks, bam, bam, bam. And then I pushed it one step further, and I took the umbrella off the key light, knocked it down to 1/64th power, and just shot her with a hard light.
Okay.
Not the most. Not my favorite shot, but it definitely represents a different look.
You're talking about the black background one.
Yes, the dark gray background.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My least favorite for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can see how you can get four different looks in less than a minute.
Yep.
So there you go. That's the photo challenge. You still awake?
Yeah, is that the end of the episode?
Not quite. This week, we have... Are you okay?
Yeah. Okay. I choked on your awesomeness there.
Yeah, do you want to go grab a lozenge?
Maybe.
Yeah. This week's topic is working in the middle.
Okay.
Right down Broadway. We're going to work... You know how we say it's right down Broadway?
I do.
So this one's called Broadway Joe. We're going to call it Broadway Joe, I think.
Okay.
Unless you want to call it Broadway Danny Rose.
Okay, I'll call it that.
No, I'm going Broadway Joe. That was a trick question. So what does it mean? What am I talking about when I'm saying work in the middle?
Is that like the ISO 400 and F5.6? And like, is that what you mean? All the parameters on your camera pretty much in the middle?
Pretty much. That's pretty much exactly what you said. You had no clue, but you had a clue.
Oh, I just came up with that spur of the moment. That's how I do it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say you're shooting on full manual, okay? Which you should be a lot of the time, and I think you do.
Yeah.
Okay? That's kind of the goal. We've talked about it many times, but you're shooting in full manual, so you are in complete control of where your exposure goes. You decide the combination of settings needed to get a proper exposure. Your exposure will be decided for you essentially by how much light there is, assuming that you're shooting ambient light.
Right.
But you decide that certain combination, your exposure triangle, you decide which parameter lies where. Okay?
Yeah.
So when I'm doing this, when I'm going to go out there and decide on my exposure, I make sure I never paint myself into a corner that I can't get out of. Does that make sense?
Sure. Give me an example.
Well, for example, if I'm shooting with a 1.4 lens, an F1.4 lens,
yeah,
I rarely set it to F1.4
because there's no wiggle room.
There's no wiggle room. We should call this wiggle room. I can't imagine the album art though. That's going to be weird. Oh, wiggle room. Yeah. I'm thrown by how good a title that is now, because that's an app that explains everything right out of the gate. So boom, new title. Yeah, aside from the fact that, you know, at 1.4 the depth of field is very, very narrow and the pictures maybe aren't as sharp, besides those things, you have nowhere to go. If you want to open up another half stop or a third of a stop or whatever, you can't.
Right.
You can't do it. So it took me a while to get comfortable with this. And not even – don't even worry about being perfect at it. Like, just you want to get comfortable with thinking this way about not going – not painting yourself into a corner.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let's say I'm in a situation and I know that I can hand hold my camera still at 1/60th of a second. That's the minimum I need.
Gotcha, yeah.
I set it to 1/100th and adjust my other parameters accordingly.
Just in case you want to drop that shutter speed.
Let's say you're shooting outside and all of a sudden, you know, a cloud comes by or the clouds shift a little bit and now you need to shoot to change something just like that. You don't have time to go and, you know, recalculate everything. Okay, what about this? What about this? You need to get the shot. So now you can open up to 1/60th. You can open up 2/3 of a stop that quickly and still right. And know that you still have room to work.
Okay, yep.
If my maximum ISO, my maximum workable ISO, I know they go higher, but the one I like to stay, my ceiling is 1600.
Okay, yeah.
I don't start there. If I can, there's some times where you have to start there. But if I can get around it, I start at 800.
I'm with you.
Okay. So I don't set to these values, but I will adjust to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, okay, so if I'm starting at 800, I'll go to 1600 if I have to. But that's not my starting point.
Okay.
So that's what... Whew. Okay.
I'm not sure, but I think this is how I've thought about it. I'm not sure why, but I think this is intuitively how maybe a lot of people think about it. Maybe I'm wrong. But everything you said so far seems exactly what I thought without ever being told that, and I don't think that's unique.
Translation, thanks for wasting all of our time.
Well, I hope you got something else.
No, that's it. Just don't work in the middle.
Okay.
There is more. Believe me. Okay. I'm questioning its value now. Because evidently, you know, episode 98, Adam knows what's going on now. Man, I had more analogies like, you know, playing the outfield in baseball, like, you know, on the balls of your feet in the ready position, not leaning either way. So you can go where the ball is hit. You're flexible.
Right.
You know, does that count as valuable information? Okay, no, but looking forward, that's awesome. But how do you do this? How do we apply this? Like when, you know, to be right down Broadway, when you go to shoot, like where do you start on a shot?
I guess it totally depends on am I shooting one person? Am I shooting a group of people? Are they moving? Are they standing still? There's a million things that you got to take into consideration, I think.
Okay, what's the first one?
Well, the first one I usually think about is what is it? Is there what's the light? Like, how much light is there outside,
uh-huh.
or inside? So I usually right. think of ISO first.
Bam, that's where I start. That's the first parameter. And I know we have talked about this in a past episode, but in this context, that's where I that's my starting point. Okay.
Yeah.
I do the same thing, and again, I give myself some room. But so after practice. Even your basic amateur photographers will be able to look at a scene and like in front of them and just tell you the starting ISO immediately.
Right.
And you don't have to nail it. Like you don't, you know, dial in. This isn't the old days where you put in, you know, 800 ISO film and that's it. You're locked. But you want to get it as close as you can and then do your little wiggle, as Adam says. Next step, you got your ISO locked down. In the middle somewhere, so not necessarily in the middle, but somewhere to go. Now, what's your next parameter that you dial in?
I can go either way with this. So I guess if it's somebody who's moving, then I'm probably thinking about shutter speed first. If they're standing still, then I'm probably thinking of aperture first.
Okay. Most of my pictures like this, like I'm trying to think of in a portraiture sense. And so I usually go with aperture next.
Okay.
I kind of think about, okay, what lens am I using? What do I want the background to look like? What f-stop am I going to go with? So if I'm shooting with my 1.4 lens, I'm oftentimes shooting at an f4.
Okay.
Which gives me plenty of room to move. And then, for me, comes the corresponding shutter speed.
Right.
So hopefully, and this is the abstract part of it, is that behind the scenes, my corresponding shutter speed is going to be judged. It's so abstract, I can't even spit it out. All those three parameters are going to inform each other so that they all work in the middle. Meaning, I'm already thinking three steps ahead. When I look at a scene and go, okay, the ISO is going to be 640 in this situation because I'm going to want to have wiggle room on my aperture and my shutter speed.
Right.
If I set those first two and the shutter speed comes in at 1/25th of a second and I'm hand-holding, that's no good.
Right.
But I've already put myself in a position to give myself a shutter speed that I can go up or down.
Okay. I'm totally with you.
Okay. Now, ideally, when you go to shoot like this, you're going to have flexibility on all three of your parameters. Meaning any change that needs to be made, you can do it on any of those angles.
Yeah. Yay? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unless you're shooting in a room and you have very little light.
Well, we'll get to that. But let's say you have an example exposure. Okay.
You want me to, or you're going to
calculator?
No.
I'm going to give one.
Okay.
We set to ISO 800.
Okay, where are we?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
We're shooting at ISO 800.
Yeah.
One thousandth of a second, and that's giving us an f1.4.
You said so, ISO 800.
Yeah.
One thousandth of a second, and so I guess we're in one of those AV modes or TV modes or something.
Well, it could be manual, but what it's giving you, you've decided on 1/1000th of a second.
Yeah.
And the corresponding aperture comes out at f1.4.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if something happens, you have room to adjust the ISO, or you can adjust the shutter.
Right.
But you're stuck at f1.4.
That's no good.
The same exposure, you get you get pretty much exactly the same amount of light. If you stay at ISO 800, go to f2.8, and 1/250th of a second.
I like that better.
That's going to give you more flexibility on all three levels. Now, spoiler alert, what's a good way to get from our first exposure to our second one if we're shooting manually?
Counting clicks.
That's a big callback. So you can count your clicks quickly and get up to where you want to be. Now you're fluid. Now you can go anywhere. Now you're on the balls of your feet like an outfielder. Remember that? All right.
Yeah. You know what? I still feel like by episode, what are we on, 98?
Yeah.
Most of our listeners probably know that. They're looking at their camera going, oh, great. I'm at 1.4 again, 1/1000th of a second. First of all, how many people have a 1.4 lens and have no idea how to use it?
Mm-hmm.
Because we should hit them.
Good. The good news is that episode 99, the show notes will be all done by Adam. Moving forward, he's going to do all the episodes now. And I'm just going to sit back and go, nah. Wow. I already knew that.
He just threw a hissy fit.
I already knew that.
That's what we call a photography hissy fit.
My point is, you need to practice this. It will become second nature. I guarantee when you were starting to shoot manual, you were not doing this. I mean, eventually, it probably didn't take you long to move towards us and say, hey, wait a second, what about this? But I'm taking the time to specifically point out This is the goal here.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm really happy you did.
Okay. When does it get really important, Adam? If you already knew this.
When does what get really important?
This stuff that you already know.
I don't know. When you get into scenarios where you have less room to wiggle, is that what you're shooting for?
No.
No?
I should note before we move on to that, there are situations where it's just really dark and you have to shoot at ISO 1600 and f1.4. Oh, well, as we say in the French have a saying for that, that's life. Okay?
Okay.
That happens. But here's where it gets really important. So the reason I wasted all of your time to get to here is that this comes in really handy when you're shooting with off-camera manual flash.
Oh, that was my wife's startup on her computer.
Oh, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, really? It was just wrecked the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's what ruined it. Yes. Awesome. If you're looking to do off-camera flash, then you need to know this wiggle room stuff. So is the part where I'm going to let Adam take it away.
I'm waiting. I'm not sure where you're going.
When you're shooting with off-camera manual flash, in short, a lot of people know that the shutter controls the ambient light. For lack of a better word, there's a lot of, you know, but wait a second. In this case, okay, just in generalities, if we can speak for a moment.
Okay.
The shutter controls your ambient light. Aperture controls your flash.
Yes.
Okay. So if we're shooting off-camera flash, and we're starting at our maximum sync speed,
yep,
we can't quickly darken the ambient light without altering the rest of the image.
Correct.
Okay? That would be nice. It would be nice to be able to do that very quickly. So if you're starting out at 1/200th of a second, or whatever your sync speed is,
yeah,
you're at a wall. Okay? Now, yep. It's okay. You can always go in. You can probably go in and turn your flash down a little bit and bring the ISO up and balance stuff. But this is a great way to quickly balance the background without touching anything else and work very quickly. If we're shooting wide open, let's say you have an F4 lens as you're shooting with your 70-200.
Okay.
Okay. And you set it to F4.
Yeah.
You can't increase the amount of flash that's hitting your sensor, that's basically entering the scene.
Yep.
Hello, sweetie. My daughter came in and she's far cuter than this podcast.
She's going to liven it up.
Yeah, she's going to explain this to you. She already knew it. Yeah, daddy, come on. Yeah. And she is one, so obviously she knows this by now.
Yeah.
So if you're starting out at F4, and you need more power from your flash, you're going to have to physically go and turn up your flash.
Correct.
But what if your flash is 30 feet away? I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it's going to slow everything down. But if you start at F5, 6, and that's where you have your base exposure, and you need a little bit more flash to enter the scene, off you go. Boom, there you go. Open up to F4, and you now double the amount of flash that's going to hit your scene.
Gotcha.
And during this time, if you want to leave the ambient the same, you're going to have to stop down with the shutter speed to compensate for opening up the aperture. If you're already at the max, you can't do that.
Still with you.
Obviously. Okay. So, and once again, if your flash is maxed out at full power, you're not going to, you have to add another flash if you want more power. You can't powered up. So this is where it comes in handy.
Right.
Okay. That's it. That's all you need to know.
That last part was super helpful.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not. but I promise you, it is helpful. For me, it is. Like it changes things from. I can't even tell you how much faster I work because of having a firm grasp of that, of putting myself in the middle and going either direction. Like what normally would take 5 minutes to get a shot, I can make an alteration in 10 seconds. And that is that that informs my shooting in such a significant way that I always think forward in this fashion.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, don't you can talk all you want. I'm actually cutting you out of most of this episode. This is going to be a monologue.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm all right with that.
Great. So I'd like you to start working faster, by the way.
I'm going to work super fast.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you knew all this, maybe your flash would have fired on your white background.
I think it was just a bad battery.
Yeah, that's often, yeah. Yep. It's a poor carpenter, buddy.
Yeah.
So there's that. Okay. Photo challenge for next week.
What is it?
Oh, we have to shoot something really that's really obvious to us. That's it. That's what we're going to do.
How about City Lights?
Chaplin?
Sure.
Charlie Chaplin? Yeah. City Lights. Okay. I can do that.
Yeah. I haven't made a challenge in a while. You've kind of been challenge hogging.
Yeah, that's true. I hated to interrupt your phoning it in, so... Here we are. Great. So, next week's City Lights, I can do that.
Okay.
I don't live in a city, and we don't really have light here, but I'm good, so that's how we'll do it.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll adapt. Adam, where can people find your stuff? Besides the blog, did we talk about the fact that you blogged?
I don't know. Did we?
I said I was going to,
and then I think right after we finished podcasting, I went and did it because I felt bad. You've been kind of guilt-tripping me for a while.
Yeah.
So I did it. Pictures of the kids. I guess I did a lot of bragging on the last episode about how awesome I am.
Right.
So I took a bunch of pictures, and then I put it up on a blog. And maybe there'll be another blog. You just never know.
The response has been overwhelming.
Overwhelming. I failed to believe that, but...
Yeah, no one cares. Yeah. In fact, people took time out of their busy day to email in saying, hey, no one cares. So thanks to the few hundred emails that are identical.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, a lot of them were just a big question mark. That's it. Great.
Can I finish saying schwartzchronicles.com? That's where you can find other stuff. Although my wife rarely blogs anymore, so when she does blog, it better be awesome.
Yeah, we got to step up your game a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe she's blogging because your pictures are lackluster.
Maybe. I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Something to think about, buddy.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure her next blog is just going to be the same pictures that I posted on our blog.
All right. Great. My stuff. You can find it at alanetridge.com, as always, but both of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know, Twitter, Facebook now, on Facebook. I talk about that with a certain pride that 5 years after Facebook became popular, now we're on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the cutting edge, Grandpa. So there's that, and then go check out our site so you can see the video that I made about this week's photo challenge.
Great.
All right, that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.